Valley Fellowship Church is a Spirit-empowered community of faith in Huntsville, Alabama. We pray that this recording helps you to connect with God and with other people. More resources are available at valleyfellowship.com.
Her children, rise up and call her blessed. So today we rise up and bless mothers and stepmothers. We also rise up and bless all who honor the Lord. Let me tell you, moms, you have a powerful place in inspiring and really releasing something in the lives of your kids. There was a guy that Timothy was his name, a man named Paul that was mentoring him. But Paul saw something inside of Timothy even at a very young age. And it was something that came not from his dad. I don't know. I mean, maybe his dad was a believer. We don't know. Maybe his dad was a Greek. We think that because Timothy wasn't circumcised until after he had met Paul much later. And it was just because Paul was trying to get Timothy in the door. So apparently his mom and grandma were Jewish, but we think his dad was probably a Greek and probably not even a believer. That meant that his mom probably came to faith in Christ maybe even after Timothy was born. But there was such a transformation in her life, such a transformation in Timothy's grandmother, that these two ladies left a deposit in this son. They left a deposit in this grandson. Ladies, you are powerful. You are powerful. Moms, stepmoms, grandmoms, mothers-in-laws, your investment matters. Everybody say, my investments matter. Now look back at that verse, 2 Timothy 1:5. Paul would write to Timothy and says, I remember your genuine faith. Now there's some people who claim faith, but do they have genuine faith? You know, genuine faith is the kind that when it gets to be 25 years old, isn't saying, well, I'm going to live an alternate lifestyle contrary to God's law, but you know, I prayed when I was 12, so I'm okay, I'm still saved. No, you either never were saved or you've walked away from it. You don't have genuine faith, you have false faith. But I prayed and I cried, I even got water baptized. If you aren't serving Jesus Christ today, you've walked away, you need to be saved. And I speak that to whoever's here. You need to be born again. You need to be forgiven of God. You need to have your life redeemed. If you've got genuine faith, you're not living some lifestyle contrary to God's Word. And if you find yourself living a lifestyle contrary to God's Word, well, then you need salvation this morning. Let me tell you, you need salvation. Hallelujah. God is a good God. Here's the amazing. God doesn't need us to be perfect. He just needs us to be forgiven. Peter wasn't perfect, but God could use him. But he needed to be forgiven. He could be restored. And let me tell you, you can be restored today. Look at that phrase again. Paul wrote and he says, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. And I know that same faith. Everybody say same faith. You know, sometimes we think of faith as being, you know, just that belief, but he's talking about a belief in God, but I think he's also talking about a belief in who God is and that God is a rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek Him. That influence of Timothy's mother, that influence of Timothy's grandmother founded Timothy's strong, genuine faith. The investment of those women impacted Timothy. Their example. The example of their faith shaped his character, and it left a lasting legacy. I mean, I don't know what they spoke into his life. I mean, the dad might have been doing all kinds of stuff. We don't know a lot about him. Maybe he died a long time ago, but I can just imagine his grandmother coming alongside of him when he was little and saying, hey, Timothy, you can do it. You're going to be a preacher someday for Jesus. You're going to do good things. You've got what it takes. I imagine his mom cheering for him whenever he'd get up and he'd put on a show, you know, put the steps up of the house and he'd step up and pretend like he was doing this play. And his mom would mind, you're talented, Timothy. You're smart, Timothy. Wow, you know, and you're going to be such a patient, young, godly man when you grow up. I can just imagine that grandmother cheering for him whenever he's trying to do his first steps. I don't know, maybe Timothy was a young preacher. Maybe he was a stumbler. Maybe he was a stutterer. I don't know. But that grandmother believed in him. And I imagine her saying stuff like, Timothy, you and God are a majority. You and God are more than enough. You can do great things. You know, if you'll do what you can do, God will do what you can't. You know, I think both of those ladies were probably speaking to him when he was going through school and they were telling him, don't settle for mediocrity because you're called by God to greatness. Listen, moms, stepmoms, your investment matters. Grandmas, your prayers matter. Mother-in-laws, mothers of all phrases and styles and flair, what can I tell you? Your investment matters. And ladies, whether you have children of your own or not, you can still have the heart and the real call of a mother. Here's what's amazing. And not just moms, but some of us guys in here, we can learn from it too. There's three things I want to highlight this morning. A godly mother encourages, a godly mother inspires, and a godly mother invests in the lives of others. Now, I want to already tell you, guess what? This is really applicable to moms, but if we'll listen, I think this could apply to every one of us. How many of you think that every one of us can encourage somebody? I think so. If we take the time, how many could have inspired? But you know, yes, we could. I mean, clearly Timothy had that. And I think of another lady in the Old Testament who was a mother in Israel. Her name meant honeybee or bee. Her name was Deborah. In the time of the judges, when people were doing a lot of crazy things, here was a lady who rose up in Israel to encourage and inspire and invested in the lives of the people that were around her. And her heart to nurture and influence people with love and tenderness would cause her to be lifted up, gifted by God to become a judge, a leader in Israel. Now listen, whether you're a mother or not, you can encourage and inspire and invest in the lives of people around you. Perhaps there are other children in your life. I mean, maybe in your extended family, there's nieces or nephews or your friend's children. I tell you what, there's not a mom or dad in here that if you're their friend, wouldn't mind you from time to time just babysitting for just a moment while they're doing laundry or having a date or watching a TV show. I mean, I tell you what, there's all kinds of things that, you know, whenever you are having kids, particularly young ones, it's amazing where, you know, that you appreciate those grandmas or those friends that you trust enough. Now, you don't do it with all of them, but you got to have a friend you trust enough that's like, just let me sleep 40 minutes. Just let me sleep 40 minutes. You know, just take the baby, let me sleep. Let me tell you what, you can invest in kids, though. Not just in those ones you know, you can invest. I appreciate men and women who invest in the lives of even babies that weren't theirs personally. People like Beth Duddle and Team Nursery here in this house that serve on a weekly basis. There's a group of men and ladies, mostly ladies downstairs, blessing the little babies. I appreciate that. I appreciate several of y'all that are part of the rotating team that minister in the lives of elementary kids. Why? Because you say, you know what? I can invest. I can inspire. I can leave a deposit. I can share my faith with someone, you know, a little bit younger than me. And so you, some of you on a rotating basis, I saw the Bakers. I think Miss Ruthie is over there today, and I think he was playing bass in here just a second ago, but I think he's gone over to join his wife down there. I appreciate though, Pastor Will and Miss Elizabeth, they're leading out, helping us organize that and working with some young people there. But I tell you what, I'm thankful. You can invest. In fact, one of the things, important things I think that Deborah was able to do and that you and I should be able to learn to do is to speak faith into people's future. Deborah looked at the situation that was going on, and her words of faith really became a great deposit into the future of the people that were around her. Remember today, your words have power. Take time to speak words of blessing and life to those who are around you, because you never know what might happen, even with just that one life you touch. Judges chapter 4, verse 4 and 5 describe Deborah in a couple of ways. Number one, it says she was a prophet. Ladies, you can be gifted of God. Don't you know that? She was a prophet. She's the wife of Lipiduth, and literally that's all we know about him. His name meant torches. So I kind of like to think that she was a prophetess. Her name was Honeybee. She was probably very industrious with a name like that. I can just imagine her buzzing around all over the place. And so she's married to a guy who's on fire. Hopefully he's on fire for God. These torches there. You know, she held court under a palm. In fact, it was named after her. So she was recognized as a judge, as a leader. When people had a hard time settling disputes, she was an honest person. She was a prophet, a wife. I believe she was a mother, and she served even as a judge and settling civil disputes. But then there arose an enemy. And when the people began to cry out to God, yes, God had raised up Deborah to be a leader, but then God would speak to her and give her a plan. And something amazing took place. She would be used of God. Barak would be set in place as a commander, but he's still terrified to go out and take it on. And basically Barak is like, okay, Deborah, I appreciate what you said. God's going to go. I know you've got faith. And I know you got faith about me. I tell you what, if you go with me, then I'm willing to go fight this battle. And I love that attitude that Deborah had. She's like, okay, I'll go with you. Come on, let's go. But because you're making me go with you, it's going to be a woman who gets the final kill, and there would be some unusual stuff happen with that. Well, guess what? There was a great psalm. We think it's one of the most ancient passages of Scripture found in Judges chapter 5. And in verse 7, part of her psalm of praise that she would give after this mighty victory kind of praised herself. And I thought it's interesting. Here's how the NIV put this poetic verse. Villagers in Israel would not fight. They held back until I, Deborah arose, until I arose a mother in Israel. Just let that verse ponder in you. I know my mom has heard that over several people, prophets and other people have spoken. You're a mom in Israel. You know, what does that mean to be a mother in Israel? Yes, she was a prophet. I mean, this lady had confidence rooted in a close personal relationship with God. She had an awareness that God had chosen to use her to guide His people, to lead His people. Again, what did we see back in Judges chapter 4? That she was a prophet, she was a wife, and she was leading Israel. She was called of God. She knew it. But then there was something, it says in this verse, that there were some people that were scared to get in the fight until there was a mother that arose. Moms, some of your kids are just waiting for you to arise. I don't know, maybe you're arising in prayer, and maybe you're just getting beside them and cheering them on. For some of you, maybe it's a dad who's going to do that. But Deborah's confidence, even in a strong patriarchal society, released her not to shrink back and hide, but to be concerned more about what God thought than what other people would think of her. Her life is a testament that God does gift women for leadership. I know there's some churches that wonder about that. This house definitely honors God's word. God does gift women for leadership. So we don't hesitate from calling Pastor Carol, Pastor Carol, or Pastor Patty, Pastor Patty. Sometimes we call her Sister Carol. Sometimes I call her Mom. Sometimes her grandmommy, her grandbabies call her Grandmama. You know, she may go by lots of different names. How many of you know Deborah went by lots of different names? God's, you know, but God is using Sister Carol. God is using my wife. God will use you, ladies. And obedience to God entails women exercising the gifts that God has given to them by the Holy Spirit. There's somebody sitting here and you've read and you've, you know, just taken a piece of a verse in 1 Corinthians 14 that says women should be silent. There's Trey. I thought you were over in Children's Church. Excuse me. The women should be silent in all the churches. Well, you better read that whole chapter, because chapter 14, he talks about women prophesying and gave instructions on how they're supposed to do it. So is Paul schizophrenic, or could it be what he's actually saying was quoting them? There were some people that were saying women should be silent. And he follows up and say, who are you? Did the word of God originate with you? You know, and he's basically criticizing this belief. All right. I'm giving you some insight there. You better read all of God's word. You better discover that Deborah isn't the only prophet that was used of God. The only lady, in order to obey God, to fulfill the call upon her life, meant stepping up in leadership and exercising the gifts the Holy Spirit had given to her. But I think about that woman who was a prophet, who was a wife, who was a mom, even in Israel. She was a woman who could balance many roles. She's like my wife. She was a Wonder Woman. Yes, she is. Deborah was faithful. She had faith. And because of her faith and faithfulness, she could inspire confidence in others. It's one thing to say, God's going to deliver you. And it's another thing to say, I have so much confidence in God's promise to deliver you that I'll stand next to you until He does it. And that's what Deborah's attitude was. Deborah had that kind of faith and confidence in God. She gladly agreed to go into battle with a little bit fearful guy by the name of Barak. She said, that's fine, I'll go with you. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, are you faithful? Do you have faith in God? Will you use your influence to bring out the best in others? Well, then God will use you to encourage, to inspire, and invest in the lives of others, just like He used Deborah. So instead of complaining, ask God today for a fresh words for your kids. Instead of griping about, I mean, you wanted a better Mother's Day card or something, or you wanted a card, or you wanted at least a phone call. But instead of complaining, why don't you just say, God, give me a fresh word how I can inspire confidence in that son and that daughter. I'm believing God. I'm going to stand with them. They may not even know where they are. They may be like the villagers in Israel that were scared to get into the fight, but I'm going to stand over. I'm going to pray over. I'm going to hold on with them. I'm going to speak words of life into them. And I'm going to encourage you, moms, today, if you're ready to use your influence, if you're ready to inspire and encourage and invest, you're going to see things that you couldn't even imagine with your own eyes. You'll go, and your kids will go where you've never been, and you're going to see situations turn around. Your kids are going to step into the fullness of their destiny. So don't you settle for the status quo, but moms, believe for God's best in your kids. Believe for God's best in your kids. I know what the status quo is, but I love what Romans chapter 4 says. It says that Abraham, 100 years old, he could face the fact his body was as good as dead. Read it later. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. 17, 18, 19, 20. I mean, he looked at it. I mean, there's some people say, well, I'm not gonna admit, you know, there's this diagnosis, but I deny it. There is no diagnosis. I've heard some people do that. My sister used to have a real issue with that, even back in Oklahoma. She talked about that in her early days with some student teaching. There were some kids who just needed some help. And the parents were so full of faith, they thought, that the parents refused to get the help their kid needed. Because that'd be like, no, I have faith. God's just going to take care of it. And my sister, being young, I remember her saying that. What I wanted to say is, God's brought me into your life to bring help. I'm here. But no, you just got to sign this to give me permission. I'm the person, God. Here, I'm going to help your child to read. Just sign here so I can. And there were some people, they called it faith, but what they were doing was really presumption. They're kind of like that person who's praying that God will deliver them from the flood. You heard about that, Pastor? All of y'all probably heard that story, right? He's praying because there's a hurricane, there's a flood coming in. He's in his church and he's praying. And so, you know, the emergency response people come by and they're like, Pastor, we've got a car for here. We've got to get you out of here. And the pastor's like, nope, God's going to take care of me. God's going to take care of me. And, you know, all right, the flood waters start rising. They start rising. It's now coming up in the edge of the church. And he's just there still on the porch and, trying to keep some of the water out. And a boat comes by and says, Pastor, what are you doing? Don't you know there's a flood? He's like, yeah, I know there's a flood. You know, and he said, but God's going to protect me. And the guy in the boat says, well, come on, get in here. I'll take you. Nope. I'm going to stay right here. God's going to protect me. Well, the floods kept getting higher and higher. And pretty soon the building is all filled up. Now he's up. He's climbed on top of the roof. He's holding on to the steeple. And here comes another little airboat, a little flatbed boat. It comes by. And there it is. I mean, there's a guy. He's a drunk. He's a bad dude. What can I say? He's one of the late ones getting out because he was kind of hungover from the night before. And so he kind of missed. He woke up to the flood, because he was in his boat and it just kind of floated. And he's like, oh, I better get out of here. So he's riding along. He's coming up here. And he sees the pastor up there. And he's kind of shocked. And he's like, well, are we the only people left alive? And he gets up and he's, Pastor, what are you doing? And the guy's just holding on to the steeple. And he says, I'm here. I'm praising God. God's going to take care of me. And the man in the boat said, well, I don't see anybody else around here but me. Why don't you get in with me and I'll take you over there? And the pastor just held on to the steeple. He's like, nope, not going to do it. I'm believing God's going to do this. So the guy said, okay. So he drove. Well, the waters kept rising. The pastor drowned. He got to the pearly gates, he walked in, and he was so mad, he said, God, I thought you said you were going to take care of me. And God said to him, I sent you three people. Now, I don't know who the person is that's going to come into your child's life. I don't know who that person is, but God's going to bring some people in their life. Now, they've got some choices to make, but just because they've rejected the first one or the second one or the third one, as long as there's life and breath in your child, there's still hope. I believe it. And if you're a mom, you stand in the gap. You believe for the best. Don't believe for the status quo, but you've got to be like Abraham who says, okay, here's the need. You don't deny the need, right? They're an alcoholic. You can say they're an alcoholic, but praise God, God's the one who can free people from alcohol. Chains can be broken. He's a debt destroyer. He is a mountain mover. He can turn messes into messages. And I just believe that even that stumbling block is going to become a stepping stone into the destiny and future God has for them. I mean, moms, you can pray. You can invest in your kids. Instead of complaining, moms, ask God for a fresh word that you can encourage, you can inspire, and you can invest in the lives of your kids. All right, I'm still on Romans chapter 4. Abraham faced the fact. I tell you what, I'm just going to go there. How about that? I keep doing this. Romans chapter 4. I'm going to pull it up here in my Bible. Because Abraham's looking at his life. He knows he's 100 years old. He could look at it. He could say, you know what? There is no hope. There is no hope if I'm looking in the flesh. There is no hope for this. What can I do? There's just no hope at all. And yet verse 18 of Romans 4 says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. I know this is Mother's Day, but if dads, we can become moms. The ladies can become fathers, maybe too. All right. Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Moms, has God spoken to you something about your kids? I mean, has he spoken to you something? Hold on to that. I mean, Abraham's like, well, God said his promise was. Hold on. Okay. Here's what it says, verse 19. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. He didn't deny it. He didn't say, I'm not 100 years old. Now, it doesn't mean he didn't put a little color in his hair or, I don't know. Maybe he did. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Here's what's amazing. Without weakening in his faith. It's not weakness to acknowledge the current state of something. But here's the thing. He was 100 years old, it says, and Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet, it says in verse 20, Abraham did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Verse 21, listen to this, being fully persuaded. Being fully persuaded. Some of y'all are like, well, I'm not really fully persuaded. I don't know if I really can do it. Here's the key. Listen to this. What was Abraham fully persuaded of? Romans 4, verse 21. Being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he promised. It's all about God. Mom, whenever you're praying, whenever you're standing in the gap, it's all about God. You're going to see your kids step into the fullness of their destiny. Lord, I declare that in my daughters. Lord God, you're turning their stepping stones. You're turning their stumbling blocks into stepping stones. They will reach the fullness of their destiny. Lord, I pray that over the for the moms. I agree with them in faith today for their kids, Lord God. And Lord, I pray that each one of us today would examine, not just the moms, but the dads as well. We would remember that God can use us to encourage, to inspire, and to invest in the lives of others, just like He used Deborah. God will use us to encourage and inspire and invest. If that's you, just lift your hands up right now and say, yes, God, I want to do that. Come on. Just make that declaration to God. God, use me to encourage. Use me to inspire. Use me to invest in the lives of others. Men, women, boys and girls, praise God. Lord, I thank you. There's fresh hope. There's fresh enthusiasm. Lord, we don't just look at the status quo and think that's it. But God, we trust you that you have power to finish what you've begun. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. When it looks like there's no way, God will still make a way. Hallelujah.
Thank you for connecting with us today. I hope you were encouraged by this recording. I'm Greg Simon, pastor of Valley Fellowship. More resources and more information about our church are available at valleyfellowship.com. We invite you to come and join us for worship. See for yourself how exciting church can be as we glorify the Lord Jesus Christ together.